Hi, everyone. It's Tamara Wade, and welcome to the Tamara Wade Show. We have got our becoming our usual guests every Tuesday. We've got Jason Smith and Matt DeCesaro with Southeast Mortgage. And so today, what we're going to do is educate people out there on what the different loan programs are. So as loan officers and as realtors, a lot of us know what they mean. And, you know, to the public, not everybody does. And so it's time for us to start giving you some education whenever we can. So I'm going to share my screen and we're going to talk about some programs. Okay, so Jason, I guess we're going to talk about conventional first. That seems to be one of the most known programs that people utilize when purchasing a home.
Yes. All right. So yeah, conventional financing, you know, has been around forever. And it's one of the things that a lot of people kind of don't really, I guess, get the back end of it. A lot of people think to do conventional financing that you have to have 20% down, which is not true. You can go all the way down to a 3%. So, you know, the majority of times we see people starting at 5%, but now the 3% program has become a big competitor for FHA's 3.5. So they've got some cool things about each program. As you start off at the lower amount of down payment, the 3%, the mortgage insurance premium starts adjusting down as you start to put more money down. So some of the great things about conventional, you don't have to, doesn't go through a strict of appraisals. So you can actually buy a house as is through conventional financing and not have issues on the appraisal side. You can eliminate mortgage insurance by going up to 20% down. There's actually another little cool product that a lot of people don't realize, that if you do 5% or more on conventional, you can do what's called a single pay mortgage insurance premium. And what this does, it allows you to pay off the mortgage insurance premium at the table at closing, and then you don't have the normal monthly fee. So that's a good way, you know, for a lot of people that want to lower their monthly payment, that I kind of set up my loans for folks. And you can also, if you do 10% more down, you can do the single pay mortgage insurance premium and you can actually roll it into the 360 month term of 30 years. And so what that does, you know, to a payment, instead of, you know, it being 150 to 200 bucks a month monthly mortgage insurance, it might only add 10 or 15 bucks. So it's actually a really cool tool that I use on a lot of my clients that are putting the 10% more down on conventional. But a lot of people like it because it's got the flexibility. If there are some things wrong with the property and everybody's okay with it, they don't always require that it gets fixed to be able to get the loan to close.
Can anybody do 3% down? Like, is it only certain people and then everybody else? Because 5% has always been the typical with conventional. So is 3% flexible?
It is. There's two different 3% programs. One of them, you have to be a first-time home buyer. And so by first-time home buyer, it means you can't have owned a home for the past 3 years to still be eligible for it. And then the other one's going to have a household income, you know, like a median limit on how much money you can make to qualify for it. So there are a little bit of caveats, but I would say majority of the people fit one of the molds to be able to go for the 3%. It is a little bit more restrictive on the amount of debt you can have because, you know, it's pretty common sense. You don't put as much money down on the house. They're going to restrict it a little bit and make it to where you can't go up to as high of a house on it. So once you get up to the 5%, you can take your DTI up a good bit higher than you can the 3%. So if someone's not getting an approved eligible on the 3%, we'll usually flip it to a 5 and we can usually get it closed from that point on.
Okay. Awesome. So, okay, tell us about FHA. You know, a lot of people just think FHA is for a first-time home buyer, but is that truly the case? And I'll let you talk about the program.
Yeah, so FHA is probably, you know, it's one of my favorite loans to do. I work with a lot of first-time home buyers, so it ends up being the program that they choose. It is, you know, has a fixed rate mortgage insurance, which is nice. So if I have someone that has a, you know, 680 score or an 800 score, they have the same mortgage insurance premium. So it doesn't really penalize you if your score's, you know, down a little bit. And the interest rates are typically going to be a lot more forgiving if the scores are down. So, it, you know, I would say a lot of people that, you know, we're doing loans for, their, you know, scores are probably between 670 and like 710. It's kind of the norm that we see. So the FHA usually prices out well for the client and, it, you know, it has them only bring in 3.5% down. The mortgage insurance premium, like I said, is a flat fee. It's 0.85%. So we can figure that out simply, you know, so the credit scores are not going to affect their monthly mortgage insurance premium. It does stay on for the life of the loan unless you put 10% down. Once you put 10% down, it does have a little bit of a different restrictions on it. But a lot of people like the FHA just because it's going to be a little bit more, you know, lenient in certain areas. You know, obviously each program has its pros and cons on, you know, what it's good at. And so I would say majority of people, you know, if they're having trouble, you know, getting approved conventional, we usually flip them to FHA and get a, you know, good solid approval for them.
Okay. And then USDA, that's one that a lot of people don't know about unless you live in a rural area. Maybe you've heard of that before. As yep. my son would say when he was younger, he thought that was a steak. And I was like, no, we went into Waffle House and he said, I want a USDA. And they were like, what? So anyways, tell us about that program.
Yeah, so USDA is it's an exceptional program if you're looking in the, you know, certain areas that it is eligible in. I will tell you that it's, you know, it's got a little bit of a smaller box that you try to have to get the client to fit into the mold of. The first thing they do, you know, you have a household income limit. So everybody that lives in the house gets their income gets used as far as seeing if the household's eligible for the program. And then it's going to have a low mortgage insurance premium. It's actually 0.35%, which is a little bit less than half of what the FHA mortgage insurance premium is. And the funding fee is 1% versus FHA is 1.75%. So it has some pretty big advantages on that, and it's 100% financing. So if you're in the, you know, the outskirts, you know, uptown in the rural areas, it's a great program. It's going to want your house payment to be under 29% of your monthly income. So that's one thing that kind of restricts on, you know, how high of a house you can go up to. So what we kind of see it work best is if we have, you know, people that are making 50 to, you know, 75,000 bucks, somewhere on there per year. And they're looking in the home price, you know, probably no higher than the mid to upper twos. Because once you get above that, you start running into a lot of constrictions. And so, you know, I think a lot of people get upset when they don't get approved for it. But I try to explain to everybody that if you're not putting money down, they're gonna constrict on how much debt you can have. So I think that's the biggest thing that will prevent someone from getting it. I tell everybody, if you do approve for it, it's one of the best programs as far as you're going to have a lower monthly payment and no down payment. So, I mean, those two things are usually a home run for, you know, first-time home buyers. But you do not have to be a first-time home buyer to qualify for USDA. So you just have to fit their little molds. And so we're able to identify that stuff, you know, usually up front in the initial application if it's going to be a, you know, a good fit program for the client.
Is there a map or anything that somebody can reference to locate the USDA?
And that's a great question. So a lot of people ask, you know, hey, you know, I'm looking in this area. And so I always send people a link. You can actually type in the address to the property that you're interested in, and it'll tell you immediately if you're eligible for it. And then it will also tell you what the maximum household income limit is for that. So a lot of times if it's, you know, just one person, depending on the county, usually you kind of have to, you can't make more than, you know, in the mid 70 range. But as you have more children on the, in the house, it gives you a little bit more leeway. So I think some counties now with, you know, four or five people living in the house, you can get up into the low 100s, on the household income and still get an approval.
Wow. That's a pretty neat program. Well, mm-hmm. Thank you for that. Matt, your turn. We're going to talk about VA, I hear a lot in my new home communities, and seems to be pretty popular. So tell us about VA.
Sure. If you're eligible, probably the single best loan program that's out in the marketplace right now. This obviously applies to our veterans, and I want to make sure that I don't go through this without thanking everybody who served our country for their service. Great things about VA loans. First is it is 100% loan. And probably the biggest question we get on VA from most of our veterans is, well, how come I'm still bringing money to closing? So while a VA loan does not call for a down payment, you are still responsible for bringing your taxes, insurance, and some closing costs to the closing table. So there's a little bit of money required at closing, but no down payment, which is great. VA does charge what they call a funding fee. it's included as part of your loan amount, and it varies depending on whether or not you've used your VA eligibility in the past, whether it's the first time you've used it or you're using it for the second, third, or fourth time. However, that funding fee is waived if you've got any type of VA disability. So you don't have to be fully disabled. You can have a 10% disability. And once we receive your certificate of eligibility in, it's typically updated to let us know that you are exempt from the funding fee. And that at that point is waived, which is a great thing. A couple of nuances or tricks and tips on VA that most people aren't familiar with. You can, in certain cases, have more than one VA loan at a time, which is really, really important. If your loan officer has ever originated in an area where there's a military base, which we've done plenty of here in Atlanta when both Fort Gillem and Fort McPherson were open. I've done work in my past out at Fort Gordon and down at Fort Benning. And so a lot of the more savvy VA buyers who are active duty military, who move pretty frequently, are familiar with that trick. So that is possible, which is also a neat feature of the loan that most people aren't familiar with. And probably the biggest feature that most folks are unaware of is that on a VA loan, if you're tight on qualifying, under certain cases, the seller can actually help pay off some of your debt to help you qualify for the loan. So that's something to ask your loan officer about if that's a product you're looking for. Great, great product.
Awesome. That's some great information I didn't even know. I've been doing this 21 years. Jumbo, tell us about Jumbo.
Sure. So there are two types of loans in the market. One is called a conforming loan or a conventional loan, which is what Jason talked about earlier. That would be any loan amount less than or equal to $510,400. And then anything that exceeds that amount would be called a jumbo loan. And it's just priced and qualified differently. One of the other differences between conventional and jumbo is that conventional loans are backed by either Fannie Mae or Freddie Mac, so by the government. And on jumbo financing, those are backed by private investors or typically banks. So there's really a little bit more of a limited market for those after the loan closes. So generally speaking, a jumbo loan's going to require anywhere from a 20 to a 25% down payment. There are cases on jumbo loans where we have or do have access to product with down payments as little as 10% down. But generally speaking, if you're looking at a house with a loan amount that's going to exceed $510,400, you're looking at a jumbo loan and you're just going to need some more down payment than you would typically need on a conventional loan.
Gotcha. Yeah, that's changed because years ago, I think it was like 416 or something, last time I ever looked into it. Yep. And then I guess talk to us about the highlights of a second.
Sure. So, little twist we can put on a jumbo loan and a little twist we can put on a conventional loan. So on the conventional loan, Jason spoke earlier about mortgage insurance, and that's if you are making a down payment less than 20%, a lender, any lender, is going to require that you pay private mortgage insurance. A way that we can avoid the private mortgage insurance is to split your loan up into two loans. These were really, really popular several years ago, and some of you may remember the terminology 80-20 or 80-15-5 or 80-10-10. Mm-hmm. That's what this is, where you would take the first mortgage, that conventional mortgage that Jason talked about, make that an 80% first mortgage, and then take the remaining balance of the loan, up to 95% of the loan, and put it on a second mortgage. So you'd make two payments every month, one to the first mortgage provider, one to the second mortgage provider, in order to eliminate the private mortgage insurance. That second mortgage is typically a home equity line of credit, which is a variable rate. It floats with whatever the prime rate is, and it's an interest-only payment for the first 10 years. So that it's a slight drawback to some people. Other folks, it's a benefit because the private mortgage insurance is no longer tax deductible where the interest you pay on the second mortgage is. So it just depends on your situation, and you're going to want to consult with your advisor to make sure that that would be the right product for you based on your specific scenario. Regarding how you use it with Jumbo, what you can do is something very similar, where you can write a first mortgage at $510,400, which meets that conventional loan standard. But again, here again, write a second mortgage for whatever the balance of that loan would be, up to 95% of the purchase price of the property. Avoid that jumbo one loan 20 or 25% down scenario. Even in a great situation, a 10% down jumbo loan, right up to 95% of the value of the property, do a first and second mortgage on a home that exceeds the 510-400. So a lot of flexibility there with a second. Lots of outlets out there even today for that product, and it's a dynamite way to finance if you're eligible.
Awesome information. With regards to these programs, are there any of them that have like really high rates, or are they pretty much all within market right now? I mean, and I get it, some of them are very right based on people's credit and stuff, but are they all pretty normal?
I'd say right now, and Jason can add in here as well, rates right now across the board on any of these products are at historic lows. So you really can't go wrong on any of these products right now from an interest rate perspective at all.
Great.
Yeah, I'll add to that. There has been times where, people didn't like to do the jumbo because the jumbo was, a good bit higher.
Right.
And what we've seen now is that a lot of the jumbo stuff's gotten a lot more competitive with your normal conventional loans. Some of the jumbos don't have the as high as mortgage insurance premium as they did in the past. And so it's kind of enticing some people to do it, because it's always been one of those things that's kind of scared people. They're like, I don't want to do a jumbo loan, but the pricing's gotten a lot better. And with where, kind of like what Matt said, where the rates are right now, it's you're kind of splitting hairs. If you're at 3% or, you're in the 4% range, on a jumbo or whatnot, you're still at historic lows. So you're winning.
And what would you recommend if somebody really didn't know which one they best fall into? What would you say?
I mean, what I typically do is, the first thing that kind of, I ask two questions to kind of figure out program types for my clients is, what do they think their credit score is and how much money do they want to put down? If they answer the question, I want to put minimum money down, then I know we've got to look at probably a conventional or an FHA, unless it's in a USDA territory. If someone tells me they're going to put 5% or 10% down, I always go straight to conventional. It's very rare at that point that the FHA would be a better choice. Every now and then it is, but for the most part, if they're putting more than 5% down, the conventional is going to be a better program for the client. And, so the percent down and the credit score are two big factors that will kind of situate the client into the loan program just based on those two items.
Okay. And then just, we'll wrap up in just a second. I guess one of the things is, once they've gone ahead and they've got pre-approved for a loan, what are some don'ts for pretty much everybody?
Don't buy anything on credit. So please, no cars, no boats, no furniture at Rooms to Go. Don't go on a vacation and max your credit cards up. Basically, leave your credit exactly like it was, if at all possible, the day you qualified. If something happens, and we all know life happens, and you do need to use credit, don't use the credit until you've contacted your mortgage professional to make sure that it's not going to impact your pre-qualification or your pre-approval. So that would be my biggest piece of advice. Jason?
Yeah, and believe it or not, people all the time will pay off a car loan early while they're under contract, while they're building a house. And we end up having to re-pull their credit, maybe because their original credit report expires, and they get upset when they realize their credit score dropped from paying off the car loan. So I tell everybody, don't make extra payments. Keep everything on track. Like Matt said, just pay it normal. Make sure you don't have any lates. Don't charge up any balances. You can pay down credit cards and stuff like that. But if you have an installment loan that's got five more payments, don't just pay it off without consulting your MLO, because it will impact your score. And sometimes it can, you know, cause you to end up locking in at a higher rate at the tail end of a new construction build.
What about their employment? Because some people have opportunities where they switch employment once they get qualified.
Yeah, so employment's also really important, Tamara, and thanks for bringing that up. Sometimes there's no effect at all. Again, I would go back to what I call the golden rule, which is don't make a job change. Same as you wouldn't touch your credit, don't make a job change without consulting your mortgage professional either. In some cases, it's fine and it's a non-issue, but we've all had borrowers who move from a salaried position to a commission position. Maybe they're changing industries and it'll affect the way they're paid as far as base and bonus is concerned. There are very small and specific nuances associated with calculating income, and what might not seem like a big deal to you at the time could be a really big deal in the way we qualify you. So just, again, don't make a job change or switch how you're paid until you're closed on your house or you've consulted with your mortgage professional.
So the key thing here is consult your mortgage professional.
Yes.
Pay your bills on time. Don't take out new loans and do not switch your job, but contact your loan officer before making any of those decisions.
Communication is key.
Correct. Now for realtors, do you have any recommendations right now for realtors that are out there with regards to working with buyers? Is there, you know, anything that you would suggest they do before going out with a buyer?
I think one of the biggest things right now is kind of the communication. It's very important, you know, to make sure that, you know, I know sometimes with real estate agents, the clients are kind of pushing them in to go look at these houses sometimes before they've actually got on the phone and did their pre-approval with their loan officer. But there are so many things that, you know, that are hot spots right now. You don't want to waste your time, you know, and the seller's time, you know, doing things without it being looked at. Tax liens are a big thing that we're seeing right now with people that are self-employed that sometimes they didn't know they had a $2,000 or $3,000 tax lien from a couple years ago lingering on their credit report. And so if we didn't have an opportunity to pull that, sometimes we wouldn't know about it. Then you go under contract and the client is forced to pay it off, you know, so it's an unforeseen, you know, amount of money that they're going to spend in the transaction or they have to back out of the deal. So there's a lot of things that we check off on that pre-approval and take a, you know, put our hands and our eyes on it. And it can really save everybody some time to make sure that if they do decide to put an offer on the home, that it's going to stick and close. And so it's stress that enough. Give us the opportunity. Let us pull, you know, peel back the layers with the person just a little bit before you get them in the car and start showing them these houses.
Yeah, I mean, I remember too, and that's some really good information because I remember too, I used to tell people because they'd say, no, I just want to look at the house first and I'll talk to the loan officer. And I'd be like, but what if you go out there and it's the house of your dreams and you want to move forward? You need to have a pre-qualification letter. And so you don't want to get out there and there's maybe like right now it's, you know, a really good market and those houses that are priced right or moving, you get out there and then you got to spend 24 hours trying to get that together, you know, so you know, trying to get even a pre-qual, so, you know, a pre-approval. So, you know, that's a big deal. The other thing, and you can tell me how you would recommend agents do this, but, you know, when we're putting offers together as realtors, and even for, you know, this is something buyers should know too, is that if you're going to ask for seller paid closing costs, contributions, and that kind of thing, you want to know from your loan officer what those are before you're putting the offer together. Because I see that happen where people go and they say they want $5,000 towards closing costs. And for some reason, they think that's going to cover it. And it ends up being more. So what would you recommend that they do with regards to that? How do y'all help our agents and buyers with that kind of information?
Well, part of that goes with the way the loan gets structured too, frankly. So another reason to get pre-qualified, what product am I going to be using? You know, how do I want the loan structured? These are things people should be thinking about that should all go into how the offer is crafted. And then when the agent's going to craft the offer, getting the loan officer on the phone. And a good loan officer is not only going to give you the closing costs, but also go the extra mile to look up what were the taxes last year? You know, what time of year are you closing? How much are we going to need to place in your escrow account? What do we think homeowners insurance is going to run? I mean, all of this factors into what the ultimate out-of-pocket expenses are going to be. And taking an extra 5 or 10 minutes to talk through that at the time the offer is being put together is huge, but also making sure that that pre-qualification occurred so that the folks are familiar with what type of loan they're going to get, you know, how much money they're putting down, et cetera. It all factors in. So, you know, 10-minute phone call while you're writing the offer is going to save a lot of headache down the road.
Correct, because closing costs and prepaids are two different things, and a lot of people don't realize that. Can you, last question, I keep saying that, but like my wheels are turning. So prepaids, what are prepaids?
So there's two components to the loan. There's the closing costs, which I explain as all the hard costs associated with the loan. So attorney's fees, Georgia taxes, title insurance, those types of things. So those are your hard closing costs. And then there's prepaids. And what those are, and the way I describe that is your piggy bank, right? So next year, your insurance bill is going to come and your tax bill is going to come. And that there's going to be need to be money set aside to pay those. And that money needs to come from somewhere. And that comes from your escrow account, otherwise known as your prepaids, or as I describe it to people, like I said, your piggy bank. So we need to fund that piggy bank a little bit up front to make sure that when those bills come due at tax time and at insurance time, there's enough money there to pay the bills. Both components, the closing costs and the prepaids together, combine, in addition to your down payment, what you're going to need to come to closing with as far as money.
Great explanation on that. Well, thank you guys. Another great Tuesday of information regarding loans in Southeast. If they wanted to get in contact with you, what do they need to do?
Yeah, we have, you can reach us, you know, on our websites. You can go to southeastmortgage.com. You can put /Jason Smith, go directly to my application page, or without selecting our name in the drop down, once you go to apply at southeastmortgage.com, you can select the loan officer. And so that would come straight over to me. You can call our corporate office as well and get in touch with any of us. A lot of us, you know, people will, you know, use our cell phones, all that stuff's available. So we're here to help. Southeastmortgage.com. You can get a hold of me, Matt, any of our loan officers for our whole company through the website.
Sounds like you got a cheerleader in your background.
Yeah, I know. She's going crazy.
I'm kidding. It's the part of working at home, but that's what everybody's doing right now. So I've been like crossing my fingers. One of my children doesn't run back here, but if they did, it is what it is, right? So this is our new world and we all understand it. So it's actually been kind of fun to have these little distractions here and there, but we could hear you very clearly. So I just wanted you to know that, because I'm sure you were wondering. But thank you guys. And we'll be doing this again. And if you need any information on the real estate side, you can go to tamarawade.com and all our contact information is there, or follow our social page. Have a great afternoon, guys, and thank you again.
Thanks, Tamara.
You have a good day.